Great to have you with us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. You know, a single cow can produce between 154 to 264 pounds of methane gas per year. At least that's according to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. And there's some new technology being tested in Wisconsin that may tell us more about the methane our local herds are burping up. Joined today by Ryan Prawley, an assistant professor of animal, dairy, and veterinary sciences in the UW-Platteville School of Agriculture. And as we talk with Ryan, I hope you'll join in. He's doing some work in this area. What do you want to know about the effect of greenhouse gases produced by livestock? Do you wonder if changing the diets of cows could reduce emissions? Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Ryan Prawley, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Hi, Larry. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
UW-Platteville, we're testing some new technology that analyzes emissions from individual cows. And so what's the overall purpose of this technology?
So we received a grant from the USDA, a capacity building grant, where we purchased a green box. It's called a green feed. I affectionately call it a burp box. And the purpose of this box is we set it up in the corner of our research pen at Pioneer Farm. And cows visit it a couple times a day. And when they do their visit, they get a treat. And while they're munching on their treat, they emit gas from their mouth. So we get to voluntarily measure gas emissions from our 50 cows living in our research pen at Pioneer Farm. So we can monitor their daily emissions.
That is so cool. I was trying to think how it was possible to do this. Before I read up on it a little bit, I was envisioning something over the cow's head or whatever to sort of capture, but this green machine can do it.
Oh, yeah. So we really are starting to take advantage of the behavior of animals or drives to have snacks, just like people do, and entice them with these little treats. It's a few cups of pellets that get dropped, and they stand, take their meal. We have some fans that pull in the gases into the machine, and built right in the machine, we have all of our analyzers, so we can get actually four different gas measurements. Of course, the one most people are interested is methane, but we also get CO2, oxygen, and hydrogen gas on that machine.
If I'm not mistaken, you can also, you know which cow is emitting a particular emission.
Yeah. So when they walk right up, they have a little ear tag that uses RFID technology. So the machine can recognize the cow. It can, using the computer monitoring, it can tell when was her last visit, how much she ate. We can program it so that we make her have to space out her visits, so we're not having a bunch of visits right in a row and we get a sample across the day. We can limit how many times they visit, et cetera. It's really cool. And as you mentioned, Larry, it logs the cow number with the emissions that we're monitoring at that visit.
So how are farmers, or how can the, you know, now you have this information, or you will be collecting certainly probably a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. But how's that information, how can it be used by farmers?
So right now, what we're trying to do at UW-Platteville is we're starting to monitor it so we can start innovating how we can manage this information. So through my research, where we're specifically interested in managing the nutrition and management of cows in a voluntary milking system or robotic milking system, see how what we change at the robot or how what we change at the feed bunk changes their emission potential, And then we can use that information to inform dairy management for our stakeholders so that they can reduce emissions. And in the future, it might be possible, or and it is with how convenient this BERT box is, but farmers could invest, or programs could invest in monitoring BERTs on individual farms. And I think one of the very interesting and big pushes is coupled with genomic technology, using this for selective mating, breeding programs, where we can pick greener cows, which is a fun initiative spearheaded at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Really interesting. Courtney in Barneveld has a comment for us. Let's go there. Courtney, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I want to ask about, if Fran has any comments about the difference between, you know, there's, of course, factory farm type cows, and there's mob grazing or intense rotational grazing, which really offsets the methane issue and also can fix so much carbon in our soils. I don't hear a lot of people talking about that. One good resource is Alan Savory's TED Talk. Another good resource is a book called Cows Save the Planet, which talks about the mechanism of carbon fixation in the soil.
Mm. Courtney, thanks. Comment, Ryan.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a lot of room to start monitoring, not only in an intensive system like we have at Platteville, but also extensive systems like pasture or mob grazing operations. And with this type of technology and the work that we're starting to do here, and hopefully with stakeholders in our region, we can start monitoring and evaluating those practices and putting numbers to it.
Yeah. John in Bluff Siding, Wisconsin, your turn. Hi, John.
Hi, how's it going today?
Good, appreciate the call.
Hey, my question today is, and I think I heard the information actually on your show some time ago, is just wondering what the science was between if we switch their diet from stop feeding them so much grain and letting them eat more grass, if that would actually reduce their burps.
Yeah.
So they can produce more total gases volume when eating more starches or grains, but there's another component to it that we also have to take into consideration, and that's methane intensity is sometimes how we describe it, where when we feed starch, we can also improve the productive performance of the animal. And when we think about efficiency in feeding people, what we're going to want to think about is not just total production of gas, but also how much gas is produced per unit of product. So we usually express that as, say, grams or kilograms of methane per unit of milk production, so kilograms or grams of milk. And we can, by improving individual animal productivity, reduce our gas per pound of milk. So there's definitely room to explore that. But I wouldn't wholesale say that exclusively feeding grass is the only way that we can have an impact on mitigating our per unit product emissions.
John, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Pete in Wautoma, we'll go to you. Hi, Pete.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I had a question in line with the similar two previous questions, and that is, beef cattle, grazing them on pasture, 100% grass and forage fed versus the grain in a confinement facility. I realize it takes longer to finish these, so you're looking at least 2 years from birth to maturity versus a regular fed in a feedlot. You're probably getting them out in a year and a half, so I think your comment was really good there. If you could just clarify for me, is there a big difference in terms of the grass fed versus corn fed? I'll go offline then. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I work less with beef. I work mostly with dairy cattle. So I'll just speak again more broadly that the longer it takes definitely to finish, that means there's going to be more feed days, et cetera, which might reduce the or excuse me, increase the emission intensity. But without comprehensive research using tools like the Burp Box, which was actually originally designed for beef cattle out in rangeland, without having these measurements, we can't quite address those questions. So this is one of the reasons why we're really excited to use this tool now at UW-Platteville.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you get them to the animals more quickly to market, they're obviously no longer going to be producing methane versus grass-fed, where that might take longer. And so it could come out as a wash almost.
I don't know about a wash, but it's definitely something we talk a lot about in the nutrition space. Our term is the dilution of maintenance, you can call it. And really what we're talking about is trying to spread out our input costs. So if we can reduce the number of days of input to our finished product, we can usually reduce our not only our inputs, but our outputs in terms of emissions. So there's definitely a balancing act. And further research looking at the intensity of emissions can help us optimize where that balance might be. Maybe there is a combination of more grain or starch or less, I should say, less grain or starch with more forages, which we wouldn't be opposed to, sure. Especially using homegrown forages and pasture to optimize this gas emission intensity.
You can join in too, by the way. The number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us the email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Are you hearing a lot or seeing a lot of interest among farmers for this work and research, Ryan?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the term Burp Box is super engaging. And I think it's a new technology. It's a new measurement. And farmers are very often very interested in data and monitoring. And once we start monitoring things, we can start managing things. So there is definitely a lot of interest. And part of that's also, it's not just the social license or pressures in terms of sustainability, but also when we think about it, farmers are interested in efficiency. And actually, if we can manage for less emissions, we actually could manage for greater energy or input efficiency for our production system. Because CO2 methane is made out of carbon, and the best parts of milk, the fat and the protein that we use for our dairy products, those are also made out of carbon. So every bit of carbon that the cow is burping into the air is carbon that could have been going to milk or meat in the beef sector and the dairy sector for beef, too.
Yeah, very interesting. Matt in Middleton, we'll go to you now. Hi, Matt.
Hi. As a farmer, I'm not a dairy farmer, I'm a vegetable producer, but I have relatives that are dairy farmers. I think a lot of this is an academic discussion unless there's a financial incentive. So many of my relatives are operating on such thin margins that going to either a grass-based diet or even a grain crop that is less productive is financially unprofitable. So barring some type of legislation that says you must do this, there has to be a financial incentive for the farmer. I mean, usually it's 1 acre of grass for one beef cow to raise it to maturity. So if you're a farmer and you've got 300 head of cattle, you're going to get much more production out of them by feeding some grain than putting them strictly on grass. And even then, in today's environment for farmers, the margins are really thin.
Yeah. And Matt, by the way, I hope you stay listening, because at the top of the hour at noon today, I'll be talking with Brian Reisinger about his book, Land Rich, Cash Poor, about family farms here in Wisconsin and across the nation, and we'll certainly be touching on some of the things that you raise. So I hope you'll stay tuned for that. But Brian, in the meantime, comment on Matt's notes.
Oh, I absolutely agree with Matt. We need to find some balance here. And I think my previous comment there was getting at how by potentially managing for less emissions, we can capture some efficiency, which would help in the penny pinching economy that can be this low margin agricultural market. But also, and I'll actually agree, it is an academic discussion right now, because by implementing these tools and monitoring and seeing how our different management can impact gas emissions, especially the intensity of emissions, then we can reinforce what we might already be doing in agriculture through these academic pursuits. So managing for greater milk yield through fats or through greater milking frequency might reduce intensity and reinforce in the story of dairy production and agriculture are practices that are actually helping our products be more sustainable from an emission standpoint.
Matt, thank you again. Appreciate the call. You said farmers are interested in this. I mean, are dairy farmers concerned about methane emissions as you've talked with them?
There definitely are progressive farmers that are concerned about it. And again, there are other people who are interested in how this can help them with their bottom line and capturing efficiency. It's a 6 to 12% loss in gross energy to methane emission. And that could really impact that low margin bottom line.
Yeah. Is this technology, I guess it's available. When do you think it'll be commercially available to farmers?
Well, I think the company CELOC wouldn't be opposed to selling it to farmers. I think because of this is not a cheap equipment, I think what we have to think about more is, and because farmers are not getting paid based on emissions right now, I think we have to think about more what type of programming we can surround it for if we want people to do this type of monitoring. What kind of partnerships can we have where we could collectively use a green feed unit that could be transported between farms for short-term analysis or auditing?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. You mentioned earlier robotic milkers, and that's one of the another part of the cutting edge technology you're testing at the Pioneer, UW Platteville's Pioneer Farm, which maybe you might want to talk about that for a minute as well, because that's a pretty cool operation.
Yeah, so I think about 3 years ago, we upgraded our facilities and put in two new Lely A5 automated milking systems or robotic milking systems. And we made some other financial investments in research equipment at the feed bunk where we're measuring individual intakes of cattle too. So now I have a 50 cow research pen where we're looking from feed bunk to milking robot, bulk tank, and now to cow burps, how different interventions, whether that's feed or permission systems in the robot, impact cows. And to delve a little bit deeper in the potential of automated milking systems, it's a voluntary system, much like the green feed, where cows visit to get milked throughout the day. As they feel like it, they get another tasty treat while they're getting milked to help encourage them to go. And the machine completely milks the cow by itself. It's less human labor intensive. And it also gives us an opportunity to individually manage cows with the robot, feeding different feeds in the robot, different amounts of feed, milking them different numbers of times a day, et cetera. So really cool technology that we're excited UW Platteville gets to be on the cutting edge.
Yeah, that's really cool. Tim in Watertown has a comment for us. Tim, hi.
Hi. I saw an article recently about a feed additive that's just become commercially available. I think commercially available from a company that significantly cuts methane gas. And I did a rough calculation, and it seems like it's affordable, but it's probably going to be one of these things, to be honest, that you know, would have to have some government inducements to get people to use it. But I was fascinated by the fact that, you know, it's out there, and you know, that's one, you know, if you add up the cost, it's probably worth checking into.
Yeah. And Ryan, you're familiar with that?
Yeah, I believe the product that you're talking about is commercially known as Bovaer. The chemistry name is 3-NOP, and it's a chemical agent that actually prevents the methanogens in the cow's stomach from producing methane gas. And they see about a 10 to 30% reduction in the methane specifically that's being produced from the cow. So it does seem to be very effective with minimal impact on the cow otherwise. And yeah, right now, if you're not being paid for reducing your emissions, there's definitely going to be limited benefit. But there's also a lot of other ways that we could potentially reduce methane emissions dietarily. And I know one that we've used historically that doesn't have it as big of a punch to the emissions is things like unsaturated fatty acids, which could also support the cow biologically in terms of energy and creating hormones, et cetera, for the cow.
Yeah. And Betsy emailed to say they watched a recent public TV program about feeding cattle seaweed to lower emissions. So there's lots going on out there. Lots going on out there. And it's I'm really glad that we were able to have a chance to talk with you today, Ryan. I look forward to, I hope we can do this again. When you get some more data collected, let's get back together and talk. Let's talk again. Thank you.
That would be awesome. I'd love to do it. Thank you so much for having me, Larry. It's been a pleasure.
Ryan Prowley is an assistant professor of animal, dairy, and veterinary sciences at UW-Platteville's School of Agriculture. Well, coming up, we're going to take a look at some latest information on CWD in our dairy herd. I'm Larry Mueller.